Blog Talk Radio.
From the Blog Talk Radio studio right here in the heart of Hudson County. Ladies and gentlemen, you know it's always in Union City, New Jersey. Insider NJ proudly brings to you the three-time, yes, I'll say it again, the three-time award-winning Politically Direct. And I am the professor and New Jersey's premier journalist, Fernando Uribe. And yes, I want to welcome you all here the 25th of February, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the month of February coming to an end, and certainly since today is the 25th of February, a special happy 72nd birthday to the GOAT, the nature boy, Ric Flair. Yes, for all of you who know me and love the fact that I am such a devoted pro wrestling fan, folks, honoring the greatest of all time today on his 72nd birthday, the nature boy, Ric Flair, I'll tell you, it warms my heart, and certainly for anyone who's a fan of the nature boy, I know it warms your heart as well. Woo! In any event, again, I want to thank you all for tuning in from wherever and however you may be doing so. Whether you're listening from throughout the Garden State, and of course, to all my friends listening throughout the U.S. of A. Now, you can write to the show's inbox, folks, at any time. It's politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. If you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic, I'd love to hear from you. Write to me, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at politicallydirectnj. And, obviously you can follow my own Instagram, which is Professor Fernando Uribe. And listen, whether it's my funny stories, which I know many of you enjoy, a little some politics, some pop culture, some pro wrestling, some, politically incorrect humor, or just motivational stuff, I know you enjoy it. And certainly, I appreciate all the new followers and likes on Instagram. Check me out also on Twitter, folks, at NoFilterUribe, U-R-I-B-E. That's right, at NoFilterUribe on Twitter. And, of course, check out Politically Direct on Facebook. Yes, 1,000 likes and counting on the page. And certainly, I appreciate all the support I get from you, my loyal listening audience here, every week via the aforementioned social media platforms. And, of course, folks, don't be shy. Call in toll free tonight. I'll take some calls later in the show. 818-572-8032. Once again, our toll free number tonight, 818-572-8032. And our toll free number. And this week's show is sponsored by Insider NJ. Now, don't forget to check out Insider NJ, ladies and gentlemen, by going to their website, www.insidernj.com, for the best coverage of the political scene. Nobody does it better than Insider NJ. Now, once you click on the main link, obviously, you'll see the subscribe button on the upper right-hand corner. Click on it, and you're automatically enrolled in the morning intelligence briefing. And without a doubt, you'll start your morning, whether, let's say, you're watching the sports shows like I do. Like, I love to watch Fox Sports in the morning. Not really a fan of First Things First, you know, but Undisputed with Skip and Shannon at 9:30 a.m. If I sleep in a little bit, I like to watch The Herd with Colin Cowherd at noon. But or even, listen, maybe I'm getting up early one morning, and maybe I'm going through my inbox. I'm watching some of the morning political shows. Guess what? I'm going through my inbox like all of you are, and when you do, the morning intelligence briefing will be right there waiting for you. So you definitely want to check that out. Of course, folks, it's the best columns, the best journalism, brought to you by Insider NGA. Of course, it starts with our editor-in-chief, Max Pizarro. Great columns. Not always a fan of his social media posts. I know we'll agree to disagree a lot, I think, based on ideology. And that's okay. There are many times I can't stand him, and there are many times he can't stand me, and that's okay. You know, that happens. You know, it's testosterone, it's, you know, ego, you know, machismo, whatever. But the bottom line is, he's an exceptional journalist. He's a great writer. You definitely want to check out his columns, as well as everybody else on the Insider NJ team, whether it's Fred Snowflack, whether it's Jay Lasser, who oftentimes annoys me to no end. But, and I know I do the same to him, but he's an amazing writer as well, in addition to Alan Steinberg, who will be on more regularly on this program in the weeks and months ahead. So you definitely want to keep an eye out for that. I always enjoy my conversations with Alan Steinberg, former Republican operative, having worked in the George W. Bush administration, and certainly been a very big advocate for Republican politics in some time, even though, you know, he supported Joe Biden last election cycle, which was kind of interesting. But again, I couldn't ask for a better team of men and women to work with at Insider NJ. And, you know, hey, listen, it's the best journalism anywhere in the state of New Jersey, folks. It's always Insider NJ. Again, www.insidernj.com. Don't forget to like Insider NJ on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. And as a reminder, folks, don't forget to start and end your day with Insider NJ. Now, again, folks, it's always important to keep in mind the opinions and views expressed tonight and every week here on the three-time award-winning Politically Direct are mine and mine alone. They do not represent those of Insider NJ, the management, the journalists, or the staff. So definitely keep that in mind here. We got great guests coming up in just a moment. Folks, I do want to send, again, a special shout-out to the Latino Spirit. And last weekend, you know, getting in the mail the poster of the top 100 Latino index in the state of New Jersey, the top 100 most influential Latinos, and I'm proud to be on that list again this year, back-to-back years, courtesy of the Latino Spirit. Again, just something to, you know, I'm very humbled by, you know, being added to this list in back-to-back years. For those of you that know me, you know I'm not the most humble person in the world at all. You can tell by my social media. But I was really humbled to get the news and to see that in the mail and to see that poster signed by Mr. Diego Maya, the editor-in-chief of the Latino Spirit, and certainly seeing everyone else on there. Again, congratulations to everyone on this year's list. A lot of operatives, some elected officials, a lot of professionals. And really, it's a reminder of the contributions that Hispanics, Latinos, and Latinas collectively are contributing to the state of New Jersey. So, again, congrats to everybody for being on this year's list of the Latino Index. And certainly, you know, I'll continue working hard for you guys and gals listening at home. There aren't a lot of Hispanics in New Jersey media. And, you know, I'm the last one to ever, you know, push identity politics, folks. But we're a growing community here in the state. And, you know, again, I'm not a lot of Hispanic journalists doing what I do on a weekly basis, you know, hosting podcasts like this with Insider NJ, hosting reputable programs like Real Talk on Monday nights with Eyes on NJ, hosting Talking Politics with the Hudson Media Group online, or hosting Talk on the Hudson on Wednesday nights. So I stay busy, but it's fulfilling. And again, folks, you know, whatever I can do to help enhance the visibility of Hispanics, especially in media in the state of New Jersey, I'm proud to do that. And I'm proud to be on that list this year, again, with everybody else. And I take it seriously. And it's something, obviously, I want to keep working hard for in the coming years here in the Garden State. So, folks, again, 9:10 here on the East Coast on Blog Talk Radio. And it is my pleasure tonight to welcome a candidate running for State Assembly in 2021. And I always like to applaud anyone running for office. I did it 10 years ago. It was hard to run for the State Assembly up here in Hudson County in the 33rd Legislative District. But, you know, whenever I see someone running, whether it be Republican or Democrat, you know, my hat's off to them. This is hard. It's difficult. It's time consuming. It's laborious. It can be exhausting. But when you see people running for the right reasons, regardless of party, it tells you a lot about how invested they are in wanting to see a better state. And I think that's something we can all agree on, regardless of where we sit on the fence. And tonight is no different. Joining me now live, folks, he is running for an assembly seat in the 30th Legislative District. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that part of New Jersey, it covers Monmouth County and municipalities there, which include Avon-by-the-Sea, Belmar, Bradley Beach, Brielle, Farmingdale, Howell, Lake Como, just to mention a few, and also municipalities in Ocean County, which include Lakewood and Point Pleasant, all parts that I like to visit during the summer. Obviously, it wasn't possible last summer, but it's a great area down the shore. And he's a guy looking to win an assembly seat this November. Well, first of all, he's looking to win the Democratic primary in June, and should he be the nominee, he's looking to flip that seat blue this November. Folks, let's welcome Mr. Stephen Dobbins tonight to Politically Direct. Stephen, how are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. Thank you so much. This is an amazing opportunity. I'm not going to lie. You gave me some goosebumps when I was opening because, like you said, it's not necessarily about flipping the color. It's about doing it for the right reason and running for the right reasons and trying to do it because we care. And I do appreciate this opportunity and for giving me this platform tonight. And congratulations for being a top influencer in a Latino company. I think, like you said, it is extremely important that people see themselves represented in all areas and in all different type of areas. And I know firsthand the difficult work of what you do. I'm not as consistent as you are, as good at it as you are, but putting news out there, podcasts, social media, it is important work though. And I applaud you and I thank you.
Well, thank you, Steve. That's really kind of you, man. I appreciate that. It's hard. It's like I said, it's time consuming, but it's fulfilling. And certainly I think, you know, the reason, you know, from what I got, I was able to speak to, I don't want to embarrass him on the air, but I got a chance to talk in the last couple of weeks to a gentleman by the name of John Hughes, I believe. And, you know, good guy there reaching out to me here on the podcast. And one of the things, Stephen, you know, I'm consistent on this show where, you know, I don't apologize for it. I'm a center right guy, but I welcome people from all sides of the aisle, because at the end of the day, it's about having a conversation. And let's have one. So let's get to it here. So it's 2021. It's an election year. All 120 legislative seats are up for grabs this year, as well as the gubernatorial race. And we'll get to that gubernatorial race in a little bit. Definitely want to pick your brain about that. But, you know, the 30th legislative district is that, you know, one of those very few pockets of New Jersey, Stephen, that are and have been solidly red for some time. Mm-hmm. Very much like where I live in Hudson County. I mean, this is solidly blue. You know, when I ran for state assembly 10 years ago, in this district, you know, I knew the challenges I faced because it's so solidly blue. And I know down in the 30th where you're running, it is extremely red. I mean, I'm looking at some registration numbers here. 35% of registered voters are Republicans, 20% are Democrats. And then, of course, like anywhere else, you know, 43% are unaffiliated registered voters, obviously, in that area. You know, it seems that the 30th has been a solidly red area for many, many years now, but you're looking to change that because you feel, at least my understanding, Stephen, from reading, doing some homework on you, looking at your campaign site, it seems that the incumbents that have been there for quite some time have not been doing the job. Why should my listeners tonight, especially down in Monmouth and Ocean counties, give you a chance in 2021?
Well, firstly, it sounded like I'm going to have to off the air pick your brain and see some strategies with you. But like you said, we've had similar experiences, and I'm currently going through it right now. And honestly, it comes down to I feel I'm a representation of my area, and I feel that I'm a small business owner. I do advertising and marketing with small businesses specifically. And the last part of any conversation, if it ever even comes up, is what party are you affiliated with? We connect with ideas. We connect with similar experiences. We connect with what is happening in our towns. And overall, regardless of their affiliation, there's frustration. There's frustration in transparency and communication, and it's on both sides. It is definitely on both sides. There's frustration top down. And for me personally, the reason I got involved was I was tired of just posting about things, talking about things. I decided that I needed to have a hand in what it was happening in my state and in my area, and specifically in my district. Like you said, we are the Jersey Shore. We are a large part of the Jersey Shore. And we felt that we were left out of the conversation when it came to what is happening with the vaccinations. And the conversation is still difficult about the vaccinations, where we felt we got left behind a little bit in the jobs. And now we're having a serious discussion how are we going to not just recover but grow. What do we plan on doing with the future? How are we innovating? And those are the things that I want to bring to the table. I didn't want to go around anymore, and I couldn't really face the people I was talking to and smile and be okay when I realized I wasn't doing my part as a citizen, because I felt like I could do more, and I felt like I could bring ideas to these tables and be in the room in the conversation and really bring what I want to bring, which is help, which is jobs, which is helping along education. I had ran for Board of Ed in my town last year. That was actually my first introduction to politics and community. I view it as community service is the highest thing you can do as a citizen, I believe, is running and representing, being if you get so, you know, the honor of being elected to represent your town or towns and or district in my case, and getting to meet educators and seeing the stress they were under and continue to be under, and seeing that what we're going through is going to be years. This is not, you know, vaccinations get everywhere and now we're just okay in this flip of a switch. This is something that we're going to be in for years, and we need, I think, younger minds, a little bit minds who were developed by the technology that's here, who have an idea of where we're going. And that's why my whole ticket is actually we're a little bit younger on the younger side. We have Dan Stinger as well, who's running for the state senate, and we have Matt Filosa, we just announced the other day, who's also running with us. And we believe that we're bringing that different and outside the box thinking that will potentially, and we believe hopefully, bring real hopeful change to our area and the whole state as a whole.
Well, Stephen, I'm glad you brought that up, because obviously you're running as a Democrat, and we know that, again, in that pocket of the state, that can be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question, because I'm a policy nerd. It's one of the things, you know, I was really fixated on in grad school at Rutgers, where public policy is sort of like, that's my bread and butter. And, you know, I've been consistent here on this program going on 3 years now. We've been on the air via Insider NJ. And Stephen, you know, while Republicans hold, they're in the minority in both chambers of the legislature. You know, mm-hmm. Democrats have been in the majority for almost 20 years, exactly 20 years.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things, and maybe, you know, maybe this is a question you'll get on the campaign trail from a resident mm-hmm. in one of those municipalities. You know, a lot of people get on me, Stephen, because I'm not as harsh on Republicans in New Jersey as I am on Democrats. I tend to be a little punitive. I tend to be a little harsh. I tend to be a little, not bombastic, but I tend to be really, really hard on them. And my answer is always the same, Stephen. You know, for 20 years, you know, we've had different governors. We've had Republicans, we've had Democrats. But at the end of the day, you know, Democrats and the Democratic Party have run the legislature, which means they run the purse. They set the budget. They're the ones that control spending. They're the ones that control whether or not we see an increase in taxation. And here's a newsflash for people. You know, when Republicans are in the majority, that's when I'll get on them. But the reason that New Jersey continues to be expensive, the reason that we continue to see taxes being raised, is because we see Democrats entrenched in control. So if you're running as a Democrat, especially in an area like yours, what would you say to a resident that says, hey, you know, I get it. Yeah, this is a red area. But guess what? Democrats run the state and they're running it into the ground. What can you say to that voter to change his or her mind? Because that's a reality, Stephen. I mean, that's not me just throwing jabs and political pipe bombs. That's the truth. One party's controlled the legislature for 20 years. So in an area like yours, and again, we'll get to where the incumbents have been also flawed. But what do you say to someone who's on the fence about, I don't know, should I give a Democrat a chance when we can argue that Democrats along policy lines have let us down a lot in New Jersey, Stephen?
Yep. Well, firstly, I think what you said is extremely important, in that you hold anyone's feet to the fire if they're the one in charge. And I would hope, regardless of party affiliation, that if I get so elected, that hopefully we have more conversations like this, that I am challenged consistently, because I think that is important, and it's an important aspect of our democracy. And like you had said earlier, conversation is necessary, and constructive conversations and picking apart each other's plans and whatnot is important. There shouldn't never really be a one whole-sided plan, because who knows what could have came out of that conversation if we looked at it from different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So I totally agree with that. And looking at it, you know, I think looking at an example like, I would say, property taxes, which I know is something that we all have an opinion on, and a strong opinion on, as we are one of the, if not the highest in the country.
It is the highest.
And if we, you know, but we look at, say, the last year or the last couple of years, and even under Christie, we can give Governor Christie his credit as well. I mean, we've kept the taxes, the percentage down to 2%, and we've been consistent even during the pandemic, you know, when people were home, not necessarily working, schools were struggling. We had virtual education, when it had to come up out of nowhere. Communities needed to be stretched to maintain, I mean, in some sense, it's just the sanity. And like we just said, we know how high they are. But I think where it comes down to is, and this is one of the things I want to bring to the table, is having hard conversations with my own party, but also the Republican Party. And I think we need to look at things that may or may not be in either party's control, looking at specific municipalities that have success. I'm thinking specifically like with Camden, where they eliminated the city police force there. And now I'm not at all saying eliminate police or anything like that. I am a proud Howell citizen. We have one of the best police forces, I believe, in the whole country. But it is controlled now by county sheriffs, and we saw crimes come down, costs come down, and I believe this is something that we can look to for, say, shared services that can bring down costs, property taxes. I believe that these are things that we can look to do in other counties, but also with, you know, within our county, where maybe state police could help provide areas. There's one specific issue, and I was just talking about this the other day with one of my towns in Belmar, where they're having real struggles, and this is a real specific example, struggling with the closure of their first aid company. That's a huge issue. That is terrible. No one should no town should be worried about that, especially where we have towns that have heavy an older population that depend on that. And now if they have to use someone that's a town or two over, I mean, for now, I have to tell you that every second counts with something like that. I mean, and that we're not even talking about the summer, where they're going to be over inundated with potential issues. So, you know, we have a shore community that really thrives on tourism, and this is necessary. I'm a little excited to be on air for the first time. Like I said, this is my first time.
No,
but
Steven, don't worry about it, bro.
I'm getting passionate about it.
No. Listen, take your time. Listen, don't worry about it. Take your time. It's important for our audience to hear, you know, and the reason, and again, I'll let you finish, but the reason podcasts, I think, are such an innovative tool, especially in not just social media, but media in general, is because, you know, I can write a column about you tomorrow, and that's fine. I can interview you for a column and just transcribe our conversations. But the reason podcasts are so important in media is because you get to hear candidates and elected officials, and you get to hear the transparency in their voice. So, bro, you're doing fine. Just roll, you know what I'm saying? Just speak your mind, you know, about what's going on. And you know, we let the audience decide. Don't worry about it. So please continue, brother. Okay. Hope you're still in the air. Steven, are you with us? Steven. Okay. I hope I didn't lose Steven right now. Okay. Are you with us? Steven. Okay, I don't know if we lost Steven. If you can, Steven, maybe you can call back. I'm not sure if we lost you on the air for some reason. Let's hope that didn't happen. Folks, just bear with us here. If you're just tuning in here live, just continue there with us here. Again, we're doing our best to navigate through these technical difficulties here, so just bear with us, you know. I don't know what happened here, but you know, we're just trying to navigate here, so just hang in there, folks. I'm sure you're still trying to. Steven, if you can call back, if you hear us here on the air, hopefully you can call back. here. I don't know what happened with Blog Talk Radio, folks. Okay, let's all right. Having a little bit of a technical difficulty, folks. Just bear with us here. I don't know what happened here. Just bear with us, folks. Again, sometimes it's a little Stephen, are you with us here again, sir?
Oh, there we go. I was just messaging you. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Sometimes Blog Talk Radio doesn't cooperate. My sincerest apologies. And again, to my audience at home, we're still on the air live. Folks, don't sweat it. You know, we apologize again. But Stephen, continue as you were going on about, again, about the issues that matter most in the 30th.
Yeah, I apologize about that. I was saying I get passionate about it.
No, it's cool.
You got
cool,
me.
Man.
You got me
speak
fired up talking earlier.
No, speak your mind. Yeah, speak your mind. Go ahead.
I believe that we need to focus ourselves collectively to go about solutions in different ways without any part. You know, we can't have party be in the conversation of helping our towns. I know this is something that's been said for a very long time, but I'm coming in with the mind frame of I am of our towns. I've worked side by side with both parties. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with we need to be fiscally responsible, economically responsible. I think that we need to have some hard conversations about the future of our services. We might have to look at eliminating administrative redundancies, but I believe that with new leadership on both sides, we're going to be able to come together and generate new ideas that will only benefit in the future.
So let's get into some issues here. And folks, again, if you're just joining us right now, it's 9:30 on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. And joining me right now tonight exclusively is Mr. Stephen Dobbins. He is an assembly candidate in the 30th Legislative District. Check out his website in terms of what his plan for the 30th would look like at flipld30.com. Again, flipld30.com. You can check out, obviously, what Stephen Dobbins is looking to do as an assembly candidate, again, in the 30th. So, Stephen, let's dive into this. I'm looking at your website here. I took some notes here, and obviously, you know, at the top of the page, and rightfully so, jobs. And it reads for my audience here, bring jobs back to the community by providing funding for training and industries with growth potential and funding infrastructure projects. That sounds great, and I think that that's something that desperately not just the 30th needs. I think every district needs in New Jersey, you know, really, really desperately, especially even during this pandemic as we're coming upon a year of dealing mm-hmm. with it. Give me something specific here for our audience tonight in terms of, you know, should you win the primary in June, you get elected in November, you take office January 1st. You know, what's a bill you'd like to see introduced on your end in the sense of addressing jobs and, again, providing funding for training? And which industries specifically do you think are the ones that really need the most attention?
Well, first and foremost, we need to look at recovery of our Main Street businesses. And I don't necessarily think, especially in the conversations I had with them, they want loans, any more PPP loans, not that they wouldn't. Not that when they need it, they won't not take it because at the end of the day, it might be a lifeline. But I don't want to cost the state any more than is needed. And our businesses, we need to navigate through this pandemic, and we need to get the – and this is number one priority really above jobs is the scalability of our vaccines, because our businesses need to be able to open up. And what I believe that we need to do, though, in looking at – growth is green technology, and I think that is where we need to heavily put our energies. It can be something as, and I'm not saying small in that it's a small scale project, but I think by looking at a town like Belmar, Spring Lake, Brielle, and looking to put charging stations for a few cars to begin with, just the manufacturing of those parts, implementing them, taking care of them. And now, look, you have a few charging stations. It might take an hour to 2 hours to charge the car. We're now bringing families in who have electrical cars, and they're going to be using our Main Street businesses. One of our main issues in our shore towns is not the businesses all the time that are on the boardwalk. It's off the boardwalk and attracting people to those businesses that when tourists come in, they might not necessarily go to. And we need to make sure that they're okay in off season as well, which is when we put in these energy suppliers, that they would bring in that small influx of money. But when we want to look at the bigger scale and the bigger scale jobs, I mean, a perfect example the other day is what's been happening down in Salem County, where they're putting in these huge wind, essentially depots, where they're building these wind turbines. They're going to bring in jobs. They had to first build them. They had to build the area before they can even start building the wind turbines. I read an estimation that it's going to create around 2,000 jobs, permanent jobs, benefits, 401ks. You know, I was fortunate enough. And one of the things I say a lot is I came from retail before having the opportunity to open up my own small business. And one of the things that scares me is I see an ebb in jobs, an ebb in job loss, but I don't see the flow. I don't see where the new consistent jobs are going to come in. We see industries like the gym industry, the restaurant industry, two industries I work with heavily. So does my running mate, Dan Stinger. We see retail. Look at the Freehold Mall. That's not inside my district, but the Freehold Mall provided thousands of jobs, and we're seeing those jobs go away. Single mothers, low income, second jobs, overnight jobs. Where I don't know where those jobs are going to come back in, but I think the opportunity here is by building these centers, but using lands like we have in Howell, that we have in Wall. We have land that can be used to be able to lease into solar, to wind. Looking to use our oceans and Spring Lake, looking to use the wind. And we also have now passed, and we want to be able to utilize growing marijuana. We're using our farmlands that we have. We have a lot of farm and horse lands in our area. Be able to bring in this new crop, be able to use it. And then I know from my aspect as someone in the advertising industry, someone that you have these secondary jobs that come off of. Well, now you might need someone to give parts. You might need someone to do analytics for you. You might need someone to make videos for you or graphics for you. So I believe that when we bring in these type of jobs, Ty, I don't mean to totally just rant here. I'm sorry, Fernando. Tell me
No.
Oh. But we want to utilize our education system in that. We have vocational programs like in our Freehold regional area, and looking to partner with that with like our Brookdale community colleges and other Ocean community colleges that have programs like nursing programs, automobile programs. And to your larger point before, and I hope this is one thing that your viewers hear, is that these are New Jersey issues. It's not a red or blue issue. These are New Jersey hardworking people issues. And these are things we need to bring.
No, that's right. Listen, Steve, I don't disagree at all. I think these are issues that fundamentally affect all New Jerseyans, right? Regardless of what district you're living in, how blue it is, how red it is. You know, listen, the pandemic has hit us hard. We're coming up on a year now that we've been living under this. But, you know, one of the things I always talk about on this program, and even pre-pandemic, again, is going back to the issue that you know, really is on the mind of so many New Jerseyans. That's, again, I want to pick your brain about it, is about property taxes. There was a story last week on NJ.com that was just released that, now again, this is pre-COVID, but the average.
I lost him again.
Steven, sorry about that. Steven, if you still hear me there?
Am I here? Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Again, it's Block Talk Radio, just being a nuisance. My apologies. As I was saying, there was a report last week on NJ.com that, again, this is pre-COVID, where the average property tax bill in New Jersey was $8,953. It was just reported that has now risen, where the average property tax bill is $9,112. Now, again, this is just the average statewide. That's unacceptable. You know, it's still the highest in the country. And I understand that, you know, some people in the state will say, well, you know, we get it, but that's why our schools are funded so well. And that's why we have the best schools in the country. Steven, that's great and all. And I know that education is a big part of your platform, and we'll get to that in a moment because it's on your site, again, flipld30.com. But, you know, at the end of the day, though, Steven, a lot of New Jerseyans don't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that before the pandemic. They don't want to hear that now, where, you know, again, there's a rise in property taxes, And I understand it's not just only funding schools, it's funding a lot of the resources in our municipalities. But at the end of the day, though, Steve, it's still unacceptable that Trenton seems that almost tone deaf to trying to be more fiscally responsible. And again, this is where my center-right mentality just starts exploding like a volcano. This is what makes me think Trenton is dysfunctional. You know, you're running for a state assembly seat. I'm sure you're going to run into people when you go knocking on doors, when it's possible, obviously, right? You want to be socially distant, you want to wear your mask and all that. But at the end of the day,
do it safe, right?
You know, you're going to hear that from people that are on the fence, or people maybe that haven't voted before, or people that have been voting one way for years, and now they might want to hear something different. You know, what's the message you can convey to our listeners tonight, again, for those that are living down in Monmouth and Ocean counties, about why your ticket seems to be the better solution in 2021?
Well, because we 100% agree, and it's something that we consider in everything that we're looking to do. We're looking at bringing in these industries, and I don't mean to bring everything back to jobs. It's just that's my background is small business, and I know along with property taxes, some of the bureaucracy, the red tape that we had to go through and are still going through with COVID was extremely frustrating. So I couldn't agree more, and we need to look at, is there any sort of consolidation that can be done? Are we using our resources in the right way? When we want to bring in these industries, are we using the money in the right way, the profit that we can potentially make, the taxation that we can use, for instance, from marijuana? Are we taking that money and putting it in the right places? Are we making sure that we're putting citizens first, our citizens' lives first, their livelihoods at first? Because, Fernando, I think you might agree with this, is that, and I've seen this with schools, especially in my town, admissions have gone down because either people are having not as large families. Like I come from a family of four, three younger sisters, or are people leaving the state, which only hurts us further because that means that puts more pressure on the people who are staying, who are living here. So we definitely are considering this as a top priority, and we need to make sure that anything we do, any programs we look to include, have property taxes at the top of its bill and part of its conversation, and to make sure that we don't put anything in place that would affect that or bring that up, meaning rise it higher. Because like we said before I lost you, this is a working class blue collar state, and my district especially. And while, yes, we like, you know, our great education system, which we do, and our amazing police and towns themselves, there has to be other ways, and we need to find other ways. And we do believe, and I know I'm reiterating it now, but by bringing in these new technologies, businesses, and industries, that we can utilize that.
No, fair enough. And listen, revenues are always what drives Trenton, and at the end of the day, how these municipalities collectively working with the state can best appropriate them, I think, is always an issue that's always under examination and scrutiny. Stephen, you brought up marijuana. Obviously, this past week, historic. New Jersey became, I believe, the 13th state in the country to legalize recreational marijuana for anyone over the age of 21. It's been a mission of, at the time, then candidate Phil Murphy in the fall of 2017 when he ran for governor. Almost 4 years later, the legislature, along with the governor, finally got this done. And it's still a work in progress. I've been consistent on this show where before working in media and also in academia, because I'm an educator by day, I also worked in our criminal justice system for 10 years. So I'm not like just some career student or a bookworm. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I was in the trenches. You know, I worked in our jails. I worked in Kearney up here in Hudson County. I worked at the Essex County Jail in Newark. So I've seen firsthand how draconian drug laws were, especially marijuana, you know, and the harm it was doing to marginalized communities, black and brown people, poor white people. I saw how harmful it was. It was refreshing to see that, you know, the governor and now vis-a-vis the attorney general are now not going to pursue prosecutions. They're going to be dropping key. That's great. There's still a lot to work on with this bill. There's still a lot to sort of move forward. You know, I look at an area like the 30th Legislative District. It's a shore town. It's a short area. Again, and for our listeners tonight, you know, if you're not familiar with the 30th in Monmouth County, it includes towns like Avon by the Sea, Belmar, which I like to go to a lot, Brielle, Bradley Beach, Farmingdale, Howell, Township Lake Como, where Barre is. So shout out to all the good people at Barre working there. Manasquan, Seagirt, Spring Lake, and Spring Lake Heights, and Wall Township as well, and in Ocean County, it's Lakewood and Point Pleasant. It would seem, though, Stephen, that, you know, down the shore, like anywhere, there are pockets of the state where, you know, people want to enjoy this. You know, I don't really care about my wine. I've never smoked it. I don't care to. For me, like, I'm all about a glass of wine and, you know, at home, and I'm good. But I understand it's a recreational activity that people look forward to. Voters came out in big numbers this past November by a margin of 67% to 33%, telling Trent, hey, legalize this now. Let's stop incarcerating people. Let's stop prosecuting people.
Right.
Let's try to make some money off of it. Okay, now comes the hard work, especially in towns like in the 30th, where this might be popular. And police departments obviously are now being instructed to not prosecute, not arrest. But at the end of the day, you know, like New Jersey, it's densely populated, though, Stephen. So, you know, whether it's setting up dispensaries or having zones where people just can't smoke, I think these are the challenges that are very real for people, especially parents in the 30th. What do you want to tell them tonight?
Well, in the same way that we put and I think our short areas do an amazing job with drunk driving, and we do stop checks, which I think helps a lot. And we also trust our police and making sure that they're making the right decisions there. And our short towns do a great job with I don't want to say necessarily always policing, but being vigilant in the nights, making sure that everyone is safe. But I think, and you had said it, the large reason that this bill passed was the quality of life for people of color who were being unwrongfully attacked for this, lower income areas, but also the tax revenue that's going to come from it. And I think that my biggest concern with it is going to be, how can we roll this out smartly but quickly? Because this is something that could be a quick shot to help our area. I mean, think about the loss that came from the last year and going into this year. And you named our towns before, but if one of our peach towns had one of these dispensaries, obviously we need to be vigilant, but I can't imagine the amount of people that are going to come in. I mean, we look at the numbers from like Colorado and Washington, and we're going to be the only state in the tri-state area that has it. So people who are coming to our areas to vacation and whatnot, we are an extra tourist area on top of that with this. And I was saying before, it's going to be important for towns that aren't on the shore, like my Howell or Wall, that we have these farmlands that aren't being used. They're not even – some of them can't even be sold. They're just sitting there. And this is going to be a great opportunity, the families that own these farms or people who can work these farms. And I was, as I also said before, not to reiterate, but the off industries are going to come from this. The influx of people, they're going to come to our mm-hmm. our towns. I'm excited for that, and I think that's something that's going to be really important. But it, like I said, it needs to be done smartly, but we can't wait 2-3 years for it.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, that's my concern about Trenton. I mean, they they're about as slow they're about as slow as the Mets in October, you know, when it comes to getting things done, you know. So that always worries me. You know, speaking of substances, obviously, I don't want to pick on the Jersey Shore because it's a problem everywhere statewide, which is why it has the notoriety that it does, Stephen. But opioid abuse and usage mm-hmm. is still running rampant in New Jersey. We know that in many municipalities, especially down the shore in Central and South Jersey, are still getting hit with this. It's been even worse during the pandemic. Again, you know, Jersey has one of those awful distinctions, like the highest property taxes in the country, the highest opioid use and death in the country. It's still a very pervasive problem. What do you want to say to our listeners tonight that know how serious a problem it remains, especially along those areas in Ocean and Monmouth counties, Stephen, because it's something we just can't sweep under the rug. It's very real. It's been in existence for some time now, and it seems to be running out of control. What can you tell our listeners tonight about, you know, should you win an assembly seat in the 30th legislative district, that, you know, you're going to go to bat for families or go to bat for awareness about opioid abuse and possibly doing more for that to either raise awareness or create more funding, create more clinics? What can you tell our listeners tonight down there by you about how you want to tackle the opioid crisis, because it's still serious down by you? Steven, you still with us?
Fernando?
Yeah.
Fernando, we're having too good of a conversation. They don't want us to continue.
Yeah. I'm sorry that happened. Again, I don't know.
I heard everything you said.
Okay, great.
I heard everything. I actually want to thank you very much for bringing this up, because you're actually the first person that this is something I've talked about since I was in high school, because this is something that we went through in school where we've lost classmates. And it's a really good question, and I really appreciate it that you brought that up, because it is such an important issue. A couple of years ago, it was in my area, there was a huge crackdown. I'm really appreciative you bring that up, because this is a big issue, and it is something that and this happens a lot, and I'm scared it's going to happen with COVID, where we get to a certain point and then we just move forward and we don't look back and say, wait a minute, we have work to do. But where I think this can be a point of focus is now, and what we were saying before, where marijuana is not going to be a focal point for the police anymore. We can look to putting focus in on opioids and cracking down more heavily on it. And I think it also comes down to education and looking to teach more of the effects of opioids, and looking into how do people get involved in it. Is it depressant? Is it anxiety? We don't need to look at the mental state of this last year and a half now, or last year going into the next rest of this school year. I'm starting to think about students. I don't mean to put that out there. I'm just going to the stress factor, the I can't imagine what kids are going through. And a lot of times this hits lower ages, and not that it doesn't hit, you know, this affects everybody, obviously, people who come from surgeries and you know, can't kick the pills. But I think that this is something that we as a society need to look at. And I think that there at times is a stigma with it, looking at mental health. I think this is an extremely important issue, and looking to utilize after school programs, utilizing PBAs, and really just making it a point of, if you have an issue, it's 100% okay. It's the opioid is not the issue. It's what's happening in your life that's the issue, and we can figure it out together.
You know what? Fair enough. And listen, mental health has certainly taken quite a hit for thousands upon thousands of New Jerseyans, especially during this pandemic. And without question, obviously, the opioid crisis in New Jersey is not helping, especially with those that are having to juggle both dynamics, which I know is awfully challenging. Folks, it's 9:48 on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. Again, we apologize for some of the technical difficulties we've had tonight. We appreciate you still tuning in here live on Blog Talk Radio via Insider NJ. Joining me here tonight is Assembly candidate Stephen Dobbins. He is vying for the Democratic nomination in the 30th Legislative District, again, along Ocean and Monmouth counties collectively. And he joins us tonight here on Politically Direct. Stephen, obviously, you know, like any guest, I especially candidates, you know, the job obviously is to define what your platform stands for and why you're running. Well, here's the other big question, I think, the other elephant in the room. What are the incumbents not doing? You know, why do the incumbents not deserve another term? I think that's a question I think my listeners tonight probably want answers to, because it's not just about running, but why are you and your ticket the better alternative to State Senator Robert Singer and Assemblyman Sean Cain and Ned Thompson?
Yes, and again, thank you for this opportunity to talk and have the platform here and to be able to speak to your viewers who are our neighbors and our family and friends. Our goal and our statement is flip LD30, but truly it is to unite LD30. We believe that in many ways both parties are to blame here. They've put a wedge between people. We've seen too often where we're angry more than we're communicative, and I don't believe that we've had leadership that's necessarily been out there communicating, talking, being transparent. We don't see the things happening in other parts of the state, for instance, looking to bring in the green technology to our area. We don't see the innovation happening in our area. Our educators, our schools, they need our help. They need more support. And what it comes down to is that we don't think, we don't believe, and we have not seen leadership. And we don't want the only innovation for the last 40 years to be that highway, US 9 and that goes down our county, got two lanes, and that was really it. You know, we believe that we're the home of genius. Our state is the home of genius. We do great things here. We brought electricity and light to the world. We've had Frank Sinatra from our state, you know. But we believe that our county especially has the resources to do incredible things, and they're there. They are already there. Things that we talked about tonight, Fernando. We have vocational programs with amazing educators, with programs that go to community colleges that can help someone like my father, 35-plus-year union worker, who would love to not have to drive an hour and a half to New York, an hour and a half back home. We would love to work here in our own backyard, potentially, talk about stress and stress relief. We want to make sure that we help our – we are a Main Street county. We want to make sure that our Main Street businesses don't go away. I mean, it is very sad driving down around our town, seeing the boarded-up areas, boarded-up businesses. We believe that, and from all the conversations we've had going town to town, and, I mean, you might have known this from when you ran. A lot of people might not even know that we have these levels of politics. And that's perfectly okay because guess what? Like I've said multiple times tonight, we come from a blue-collar county and state. People work hard. They expect their leadership to represent them and to do the work for them, and that's what we're going to do.
Let me ask you this, though, Stephen, because obviously, you know, you bring up businesses being boarded up, and last fall, I had the opportunity to interview State Senator Vin Gopal, a Democrat nearby, in the area, obviously, just a couple of districts over. But bottom line was, I give him a lot of credit. You know, he was a Democrat that was willing to take Governor Murphy to task. And I think that an issue this election cycle, Stephen, I'm sure maybe you might hear it from people when you go door to door and talk to potential voters is, you know, no one's going to argue, I think, that early on last year at this time, during the early stages, that Governor Murphy made some tough decisions, made some hard choices, and in trying to flatten the curve and, you know, eradicate this virus and get us up and running and, you know, get us more fully functional. We're approaching a year. There are still pockets of the state that have not reopened completely. And very much like when I interviewed State Senator Gopal, he was upset, you know, down in his district, you know, down the shore, plenty of businesses, you know, hospitality and nightlife are so dependent on tourism. And a lot of these restaurants that have been staples and institutions in Ocean and Monmouth counties have closed down. They were temporarily closed. Some will never return. And that's certainly an eyesore. And that's certainly, I think, it's heartbreaking for people that have lived their whole lives. But, you know, now the governor is taking some heat throughout the state. And it seems that, you know, and again, I don't want to make this a red or blue issue. It isn't. But at the end of the day, it seems like Democrats in New Jersey, Stephen, have not been willing to take the governor to task when it comes to reopening the state, when it comes to dining, for example. You know, only recently did the governor, you know, increase the indoor dining, I believe, to 35%. You know, he talked about sports venues, right? I'm a big Devils fan. It's great to see the Devils will have fans. That's awesome. But, you know, I think people are more concerned about their schools being opened or businesses being reopened or at a bigger capacity. You know, are you fearful that that's something that, again, you're running as a Democrat in a highly red area? Do you think that's something that could be working against you? Because let's be honest, it seems like down the shore, it's an area where the governor isn't very popular.
Fernando, I think you and I are coming from the same place here, is that I am first and foremost someone from Howell. I'm someone who lives in there. I work with people from my area. I'm from my district. I'm of my people, of my area, and of my state. That's who I speak to first. That's who I have to answer to first. Regardless of the party of the governor, I am going to make sure I represent fully our beliefs in our area. And I will be taking – and I will take the governor and I will ask him the hard questions, regardless of us being on the same party. For instance, one of my major issues is – and I've been very vocal about this, and Senator Gopal is the next door, and so he has similar not putting words in his mouth, but just his talents have similar experiences, is that you said it before, you know, going through last year, there was, you couldn't necessarily say one or the other because we didn't know what was going on. But we need more communication. I'm not just going to say that about the Republican leaders in my area. I'm going to say it about the Democrat leaders as well, because it's not fair. How is a business owner supposed to anticipate a few weeks from now, we'll see what's going to happen? They cannot. How is a restaurant owner supposed to know what that means, or a gym owner, or any type of a coffee place, a pizza place? That is unacceptable from leadership. And we need to make sure that we might be wrong. And that's also not okay, because they might be getting ready people on staff. But give us – I want to applaud my K-8 school in Howell, where they put together a 5-point plan, and they were very the administration was very vocal on, these might change. This is not black and white, but this is what we're looking to do. And we disagreed. A lot of people disagreed on, but we had a conversation. We knew the idea and the thinking. So there was a point where we could say, okay, you know what, we're going through this. We'll get to the next step, and here is how we're going to do it. That has not happened. And this is something that businesses, and again, I'm going to keep bringing it back here because this is where I'm from, and this is the people that I represent. We need an idea of what's going to happen. 35% for most of my businesses, meaning the people in my towns, didn't do anything from 25%, and it's not going to probably do anything to 45%. We need to know, and we need a laid-out plan. And again, we're willing to accept that things are going to change, but we need something. We need to understand that, and that's something that I'm going to make sure I press.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I think, again, for our listeners tonight that are tuning in here on Blog Talk Radio, I think are ecstatic to hear that as well, because, you know, there are pockets of the state that are still frustrated. There are pockets of the state that are mm-hmm. even up here in Hudson County where I live. I mean, there are a lot of places right by the river, a lot of outdoor dining that cold right now. It's cold right now, and I get it, but it's going to warm up soon, hopefully. And, you know, these restaurants that have been staples in the community for decades, you know, run the risk of being shut down. Let me ask you this, because, you know, obviously, should you win the primary in June and then be obviously the Democratic nominee of the ticket, again, getting back to the governor real quick, he's at the top of the ticket, you know, but as a history teacher and a fan of history, you know, history's not on the governor's side, Stephen. A Democrat has not been reelected governor since Brendan Byrne. I mean, that's a long time ago. That's before my time and your time. It's, you know, the governor, even though the governor is still polling at 61%, and I listen, he has a lot of favorables. I get that. You know, I'm intellectually honest and philosophically consistent on this program. But again, I think that there are pockets of the state that are vehemently dissatisfied with the way New Jersey's going. And one issue really is getting back to the way we've looked at COVID is the reality of, instead of a one-size-fits-all model, maybe looking at tackling COVID regionally. Does that seem like a better solution right now?
So I think one thing we definitely need is overall guidance. We need overall leadership, right? Like, this is where we want to go. But then, like you're saying, how can you judge one area to another? Now, we knew the issue moving going back a year was, we couldn't have people traveling because of the transmission rate, and transmission rate is – death is the worst, but the transmission is how it gets spread. We all know that, and that's also how businesses have to get shut down for 3 weeks, and that is a death sentence for a business, especially a local business, our mom-and-pop shops. They cannot afford to shut down for a day. I would like to look at and see if we have success with it, and looking at, is Monmouth County within itself? I mean, we do it with schools, you know, and we do it with some other aspects. So that is something that we should bring up to the table to at least have a conversation about. Because, like you said, some areas aren't as dependent on, say, a shore town. They might be further west, and they are solely dependent on Tyners or lower or smaller businesses in that aspect. And they might not get the same in our area, we have a lot of travelers, a lot of commuters to New York and Philadelphia. We need to be hypervigilant because our transmission rate is going to be higher than another area. But at the same time, and I meant to bring this experience up before, but we need communication from up to down for our local leaders to be able to have the opportunity. Example would be if you remember back in November when we had or I think it was November when permits came out that tents need to be winterized, and they had like 4 days to get it done. and there was no communication all around. Restaurants were struggling to get it. I had experience with a friend who owns a gym who restaurants were able to open up in a parking lot in one town or a different town. A gym was able to do something in another town outside, but then he got booted off his park. And there was just the leadership was – no one even knew where the leadership went. No one knew where the buck stopped. And that, I think, is what we need to revisit, especially when we look into going to the summer, where if we're not going to be able to scale the vaccine the way we're saying it's going to, and we need to look at our businesses. We need to look at where's the stream of revenue going to come at the micro scale, and if that's what we're going to have to do, look at our counties, look at our and have constant communication with our mayors. Then maybe that's something we have to do.
Folks, it's 10 o'clock here on the East Coast here on Blog Talk Radio. Joining me here live tonight is Stephen Dobbins. He is a candidate for the State Assembly in the 30th Legislative District, again, along Ocean and Monmouth counties. Stephen, we got a few minutes to go here. I know you've had a long day. Obviously, I appreciate you being a gentleman and joining me here tonight. Why your ticket? Why is your ticket? And if you could share with our audience tonight a little bit more about who's joining you on the ticket.
Yeah.
What makes your ticket unique? What makes this ticket, as I said before, a better alternative to what some would argue incumbents, especially at the top of the ticket, as they say, a gentleman who has been serving for quite some time in addition to the assembly members? Why are you and your running mates the better alternative in 2021?
So firstly, again, I want to thank you, Fernando, for this opportunity. This has been a lot of fun. It's been a great conversation. I really appreciate it. I was looking forward to it all day talking to you, so I do appreciate it. Looking at our ticket, Dan Stinger and Matt Filosa, we do believe that we're bringing forward the new era. And when I say that, I mean of thinking, of technology. We've come up in it. We know how to use it. We believe in the future. We believe that the future is here, that where we were going, and I'm saying that with COVID, and I say this often, in that of all the horrible things COVID did, it also cut off, we believe, potentially 15 years of slow progress, in that there's industries that are now gone and they're not coming back. We need to look at technologies, and we don't believe that the leadership that is there is going to provide that. They haven't provided it, and they haven't even mentioned it, and we want to at least hear it out loud. That we're going to look at green technologies, that we're going to look to bring different industries within our areas that are already there. As we said multiple times tonight, we have a lot of the blueprint in our area. We have the tools there. We just need to repath a lot of it, like education, like using the school programs, like vocational programs. The three of us specifically, I mean, I said it tonight multiple times, that I come from today I spend my whole day with small businesses in all different areas and all different industries. Dan Stinger running for the state senator, likewise, he's a real estate agent who also works consistently with blue-collar workers. We are coming from the voter base. We are not career-long politicians. We are people who work amongst our own people within our communities. We've been heavily committed within our communities. Myself, I was appointed recently to the Environmental Commission, so I'm heavily involved in our community, working with the construction within our business. And we just believe that it's time for fresh thoughts. The next generation to come in. Again, regardless of the party, we're here to work for our community and our district.
Speaking of the party, though, Stephen, and again, you know, it some issues really shouldn't be red or blue. Some issues, I think, at the end of the day, are more about being practical and coming up with solutions. The bottom line is this, and again, it sort of goes back to the talking point I brought up earlier tonight about the makeup of the legislature, right? We have, you know, strong majorities by Democrats in both the state assembly and state senate. You're looking to obviously pad that a little bit, right, and to add to it. But at the end of the day, you know, and I've been discussing this on the program for years now, where it seems like we've been living in this climate of tribalism when it comes to our political climate. And, you know, in New Jersey, you know, when we think about what's an R and what's a D, right, next to a person's name and what that represents, you know, again, you know, I'll go back to the simple nature of it. You know, Democrats have run the legislature for 20 years. And I think and some would argue, like myself, I've argued a lot, that it's the really liberal, progressive wing of the party that kind of drives me nuts. You know, I think there's a lot of centrist, moderate Democrats in Trenton occupying legislative seats that I think have, you know, not tread water, but I think have been like sort of moderate Democrats. But then you have like really liberal progressive ones that, you know, and again, I listen, one of the things on this show, I try to make it informative, but I also try to be entertaining. And oftentimes, you know, it's those progressives and liberals that drive me crazy, Stephen. So when I use the term, you know, the social justice clowns and the woke fools, you know, these are the people that I worry about. And not to say that there aren't people on the right that concern me. Of course, crazy conservatives, you know, worry me just as crazy leftists do. However, again, it goes back to the premise that, you know, Democrats run the legislature. And oftentimes it's really liberal Democrats that are designing policy. They're the ones that are legislating. Again, in your district, which has been pretty consistently red for quite some time, you know, you're running with a D next to your name. You know, what do you say to someone that, that would just say, oh, God, you know, Stephen, geez, a Democrat? Well, look at the Democrats in Trenton. You know, these are men and women that, you know, and again, I'm not trying to be bombastic here or inflammatory. But, you know, there's some people that might just be like, well, you know, you have Democrats that, you know, struggle with biology, right, and seem to be all woke and trying to lecture us about gender and the 25 genders when we all know there's only two genders and, you know, economics and, you know, everything's tax this and spend that. You know, that's a kind of a hard, you know, that's a hard myth, that's a hard perception to kick. Just like I would say to someone who's really, really conservative and let's say a Republican in, let's say, Morris County or your district, for example. I mean, those sometimes are labels that are hard to kick. What can you tell our listeners tonight about, again, it's not a red or blue thing, but you're running as a Democrat. So at some point, someone's going to ask you, well, Stephen, what type of Democrat are you? Are you the, you know, Nicholas Spitari Democrat? Are you, you know, State Senator Ruiz Democrat? Are you a Brian Stack Democrat? Like, that umbrella is really, really broad, Stephen.
It is, and I don't know if this is necessarily the answer to your question. I mean, I have been asked, you know, multiple times within my areas, because like you said, I'm in a red area, so the majority of people I talk to and work with on a daily basis are Republicans. And when they ask me, and they ask me very similar to how you asked me, is I'm your neighbor, and I'm not anyone other than I'm Stephen Dobbins, and I'm running for you.
Okay.
I'm running for your kids.
Okay.
That's the answer I truly believe in. And I know, and again, I might not be checking off, you know, the right answer there, but that I stand behind that, and I believe that. I am running for you, and that's everybody.
Well, the reason, Stephen, the reason I bring that up is because it's inevitable, right? I think anyone running this year, I think regardless of the letter next to your name, is going to get those questions. It's going to be, well, how do you feel about – and sometimes, you know, when it comes to – especially New Jersey politics, right, oftentimes it becomes a 3 or 4 issue voter, right, when it comes to what's going on in New Jersey. Oftentimes it's not like a plethora of issues that someone is really passionate about. Sometimes it's just a handful, you know, and it really depends on the area you're in New Jersey. You know, obviously, listen, the issues in South Jersey, you know, let's say in District 1, really South Jersey, are different than the 30th. They're different than the 40th. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that, you know, obviously during as this election cycle continues, it's something to definitely keep an eye on. Stephen, just, you know, getting back to your site here and looking at it. And folks, again, if you haven't checked out Stephen Dobbins' website, it's flipld30.com. You can see contact information if you're looking to get involved with the campaign and volunteer for Stephen, along with members of the ticket. You know, you can look at the website there and get more information. You know, something that really caught my eye here, and I know you mentioned it before about green energy, but infrastructure is something that's big on your site. And we know that down the shore, down in Ocean and Monmouth counties, infrastructure is so important to talk about. You know, it's one of the more traditional towns. You know, you talked about, I think, Route 9 or 35. I'm not sure. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, just improving that infrastructure. Yeah, exactly. But it's not just that, right, Stephen? I mean, there's much more infrastructure that needs to be addressed. Maybe not necessarily along green lines, but what other infrastructure projects are you really interested in really shedding light on?
And I don't mean for this to come off as simplistic, but we need to modernize our area. The fact that, and you know this as well as being someone around social media, so I don't want to say Facebook dictates how a town feels, but when you have a town page that has over 14,000 people in it and they're vocal about their where they're getting their power source or how when the wind blows, the whole town goes out of power, and it's something that's been a fight now for probably longer than 20 years. It's something like that. Looking into, can we put them on the ground? is looking at DeFi as something that we can do on a scalable level. Can we, and I brought this up earlier, can we look into preparing for green electric cars and putting in charging stations? Can we make sure that when we pave a street, we're not going to have to do it again in 3 years? When we're looking at pipes, are we using the correct things that we're not going to have to pull them up every 6 years? Are we looking at using the new industries? Are we looking at using the best industries? Are we getting the best contracts? Why are certain areas being built for what seems like a decade and others aren't? Or others aren't even being touched? Looking at putting lights up in certain areas. Are we using solar panels on public buildings when we can to potentially cut costs, to look into doing other projects with that money? It's little things like that that we speak about and then there's no action on it. And we need to make sure that, again, how I started it, I don't want to make it sound simple, but it's looking at modernizing the conversation and really hitting home, going through our towns and making sure that when we do a project, we do it that we don't have to think about it for a very long time.
Okay, understood. And again, and you know, I'll let the listeners make their decision and make their own choices here as they listen to you with me here on this program tonight. Steve, before I let you go, not to put you on the spot, but favorite bakery, favorite restaurant to eat in down in the 30th Legislative District? Here we go.
Oh, man. I got to work with these industries and these places, too. You're going to get me in trouble here. Oh, man. I hope this is okay that I might do. Could I do a small little plug to the Girl Scouts of the Jersey Shore? I don't want to get anyone in trouble here, but they're actually doing an amazing event. So I'm going to call out all these places because I do love them all. But they're doing what's called a Top Cookie event. It's an amazing thing that helps the Girl Scouts. And I'm going to say, because I was just there today, Purple Glazed Donut. They're going to be a celebrity judge, but they're bringing together – they're really doing a great job to help the local restaurants. They bring together four restaurants to design a cookie around a Girl Scout cookie. And they're helping the local restaurants. They're helping the girls for the Girl Scouts, and it's an amazing thing. And I was at Purple Glaze today because they made some special donuts inspired by the Girl Scouts. So I'm going to say Purple Glaze. That's in Asbury. That's not in my district. So if I can give a second answer, I'm going to have to say Patsy's and Howell. It's a pizza place. Great pizza. Hopefully you can come down and Howell. We'll get pizza someday there.
You know what? I'll take you up on that offer on a slice as the weather gets a little bit warmer. I think that'd be good to do. Steven, you know, another question here, not to grill you, but, you know, you're a regular guy. You're a sports fan. You're looking forward to baseball season. Who do you like, the Phillies, Mets, or Yankees, based on where you live?
Now, I'm going to start this because I think you said – I don't know if you're a Mets fan, but I saw you saw you're a Ric Flair fan, so we have that in common. But I am a Yankee. I am a Yankees fan.
Okay, that's great. So am I. I'm glad to hear that. I'm a big Yankee fan as well. So later on this fall, obviously, you know, Governor Murphy this week announced, you know, about venues and about obviously having capacity, especially in outdoor sporting venues. Mm-hmm. You're down the shore, so I'm not exactly sure. But come football season, Eagles, Giants, or Jets? What's up?
I'm a Jets fan. How about you?
I'm a devoted Cowboys fan. So, you know, I'm Cowboy Nation all day. Yeah, but my dad's a big devoted Jet fan. My dad listens to the show every week. So definitely, you know, he's long suffering. Yeah, my dad's.
I was gonna say we'll be in misery together.
Yeah, well, my dad's like the Joe Beningo in my life. You know, he definitely, you know, always has something to say about that.
That's
so
fantastic.
Definitely.
A couple of years ago when the Eagles won, my dad goes, "Appreciate this. This is the closest you ever get to seeing green and white win."
Oh God, well that pained me, but that's another story. Steven, before I let you go, this is the part of the program where. You know, I've been the one asking questions. I've enjoyed our dialogue and I've enjoyed our conversation. But this is the chance where I give my guest the floor. If you got a question for me, you want to pick my brain, I'll give you the floor. You got the last word here. What do you got for me?
First, again, I've said it a bunch of times, but I really appreciate this platform. Coming from the side of media, I do recognize how difficult the job is that you do, how it's a lot. It's really time consuming, and I hope people appreciate it. You're also giving light to someone like myself, who's newer to the political arena, who's you know, you don't have to give me the time, and I appreciate that. And you're also giving light, though, to local politics and local leadership and local community leaders I've seen also on the podcast. I want people to, you know, recognize the work that goes into it, and it's important work. And so I did want to just take this time to thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for this.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That was very kind of you. That was very kind of you, Stephen. I appreciate, again, the kind words. And listen, I know the battle you're facing. I know it's hard to run for state office. You're doing it. A lot of people say it, but a lot of people don't do. So I do appreciate you taking the time to come on this show. I appreciate the fact you respect Politically Direct via Insider NJ. And listen, we'll talk to you later this spring. We'll see how the campaign's going. But
yep.
In the meantime, stay healthy. Best wishes to you and your family.
You as well.
Again, stay safe. And I appreciate you being a fan of Politically Direct via Insider NJ.
Yep.
And we'll talk to you again soon here on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks again, Stephen. All right, folks, 10:15 here on the East Coast from Blog Talk Radio. And I'll tell you, what a great interview tonight with Mr. Stephen Dobbins. And again, folks, I apologize for the technical difficulties. We had a couple tonight. You know, Blog Talk Radio can be a pain. My apologies. It's not something I can handle, you know what I'm saying? But I appreciate you, you're tuning in tonight and, you know, making this part of your Thursday night listening. Listen, folks, you know, great interview, you know. And as, you know, I've said before on this program, you know, as we obviously are just celebrate our third year on the air here on blogtalkradio.com/ Politically Direct NJ and also via insidernj.com/podcast. You know, these are the interviews I look forward to. You know, I like interviewing candidates. I like interviewing elected officials. I like talking policy. And when, you know, whether it's an R or a D next to your name, you know, I want to talk about what's going on in New Jersey, you know, because again, I'm not just a journalist, but I'm also an educator, an academic. And policy is like my bread and butter. It's what I loved studying in grad school. I loved writing about it. You know, I harp on it, not just on this show every week, but on Real Talk on Monday nights via Eisen and Jay. Also via Talk in the Hudson on Wednesday nights on Blog Talk Radio. And also on Talking Politics via the Hudson Media Group. You know, so these four programs is, you know, this is my way of holding people accountable in both parties. Because, you know, again, New Jersey is a pretty diverse state ideologically. And it's something that, you know, I really, really take pride in. So, again, great interview there with Stephen Dobbins. And again, if you have a chance, check out his website. Again, it's flipld30.com. That's flipld, the number 30.com. And you can check out Stephen's platform there, ways to contact the campaign, obviously the plan he has in the 30th Legislative District, and certainly, you know, ways to, again, contact him if you're interested in volunteering or donating to the campaign. Again, you know, check out Stephen Dobbins. Make sure you follow him on Instagram, on Facebook, and also follow him on Twitter. You know, it's, listen, like I said, it's hard. It's hard to run for office, regardless if you're a Democrat or Republican in New Jersey. So, you know, when you see people being that invested and wanting to do that, that's always, as far as I'm concerned, that's an admirable thing to do, you know, and certainly we'll see how it plays out. Leading up to primary day in June, my understanding, the governor via executive order, I think, is going to permit in-person voting, which I think I'm a fan of. I think you all know how I feel about vote by mail. But it will be interesting to see what happens again in the next few months as hopefully, you know, we're getting back to normal and we're defeating the virus and we're seeing a drop in cases and we're hopefully returning to some sense of normalcy. So we'll see how that goes. But again, you know, great job there tonight by Stephen Dobbins, you know, here on the show. And look forward to talking to him and other candidates, you know, again, throughout 2021, because it is an election year. And certainly it's one that I think we want to focus in on. And there are issues, I think, that affect everybody that we're all going to have an opinion on. So, and that's why you rely on Politically Direct to talk about those issues, folks, and those opinions that you keep having on a daily basis. Well, folks, again, that's our show for this week. If you missed any part of the broadcast, and again, I apologize for some of the technical glitches. It was like a couple minutes there that we had, you know, of dead air and just miscommunication there. Again, I apologize, but you can go back and listen to the episode in its entirety at www.insidernj.com/podcasts. You can not only listen to tonight's episode in its entirety, but all previous episodes in 2021. So you definitely want to check that out when possible. Folks, if you want to write to the show's inbox and let me know what you thought about tonight's episode or any previous ones, hey, write to the show, politicallydirectnj@yahoo.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram at politicallydirectnj and also check out my own Instagram at Professor Fernando Uribe. Tons of new likes, tons of followers, you know, and again, I must be doing something right because many of you enjoy my, especially my Instagram stories. to say the least. So also, folks, hit me up on Twitter as well, at NoFilterUribe, at NoFilterUribe, my last name there, so check it out. And, of course, for all you Facebook subscribers, folks, check out Politically Direct. Like it, of course. Share it on your walls when you can, and tell your friends to do the same. And certainly, last but not least, folks, do check out Insider NJ at their website, www.insidernj.com, for the best journalism anyone in the state of New Jersey. You know, I'm really lucky because I work with an amazing group of journalists. Not all that I agree with. You know, obviously, there's some of my colleagues and teammates on Insider NJ that I don't agree with. I don't like a lot of their positions. But they're excellent writers, and I'll give them their due. They're exceptional columnists. Again, whether it starts with our editor-in-chief, Max Pizarro, even down the line to Jay Lasseter, who drives me crazy often, as well as Alan Steinberg, but also Fred Snowflack. They're all great writers, even Bob Hennelly, who contributes regularly to Insider NJ, folks. It's the best journalism. And when you're on the website on a daily basis, if you're not subscribed already, what are you waiting for? Go to the subscribe button, click on it, and you're automatically enrolled free of charge in the Morning Intelligence Briefing. So during the morning, when you're watching TV, right, if you can stomach some of the morning political shows, right, you know, like Morning Joe, which is atrocious, or, you know, CNN, which is even worse, you know, if you're scrolling through your inbox, guess what? The Morning Intelligence Briefing will be right there waiting for you. Definitely do check it out. And, again, it's the best journalism you'll find anywhere in the Garden State, folks. It's courtesy of Insider NJ. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and, of course, follow them on Twitter. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to start and end your day with Insider NJ. Folks, again, I appreciate you tuning in tonight. Great episode again with Stephen Hobbins, Legislative District 30, Assembly candidate down the Jersey Shore, again, in Ocean Hammond County. That's what encompasses the 30th Legislative District. So definitely check it out. It was a great, great show. You know, listen, let me tell you something. Stephen Dobbins is a guy that is, you can tell he's hungry. You can tell that he is eager to, you know, raise awareness about issues in a district that some would argue have gone neglected, right, when it comes to certain issues. And certainly, you know, if you listen to Stephen Dobbins tonight, you can tell he was really, really adamant about, you know, getting his point across. And again, you know, he's trying his best to raise awareness. And that's all you can do, folks, and obviously reach out to the potential voters in that district. So, again, I want to thank Stephen Dobbins for his time tonight. Great interview. Definitely, if you didn't check it out or just tuned in now or miss it, don't worry about it. It's available on the website, www.insidernj.com/podcast. That's plural, podcast. So definitely tune in for that. And, you know, again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in here. Again, February is coming to a close. Thank goodness. March 1st is Monday. Hopefully some warm weather is on the horizon. It was great to see a lot of the snow melting up here in Hudson County today with 50-degree weather and sunshine. Hopefully we get rid of this and we get to, see warmer days. Again, daylight savings time is just in a couple of weeks. So let's stay safe, stay healthy, everybody. And again, you know, please, you know, when you're going out, be safe. Please party responsibly. And without a doubt, we appreciate you tuning in here every single week via insidernj.com/podcast. And don't forget, folks, it's real. It's here. It's Politically Direct. Good night. Belmar, New Jersey, one of my favorite towns down the shore. I love Bar A. I know Bar A technically is in Lake Como. It's been a great venue for me over the years. Whenever Rutgers has their Rutgers alumni events, Bar A has been amazing down the shore. I've not gone there in a couple of years, but it's great, great town, and hopefully it can get back to the great party town that it's been in previous years, as well as other areas down the Jersey Shore. So good night to all my good people down in Belmar. Folks, I'll see you next week here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, let's keep on talking.